Okay, for devotions this morning, I would like to read from you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 11. My thoughts this morning go back to things that I have talked about different times to some of you, and I couldn't get out of my mind, so I just thought I'd better go ahead and talk about it again. So those of you that have heard me talk about this way, you'll have to forgive me. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. I'm sorry, I'm reading in verse 11. I don't know if I said that. And not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My thought this morning was about who we are identified with. But before I talked about that, I wanted to say a little bit about how Christ identified with us. First of all, he identified with us through the cross and his life. It says here that what he did, he identified with the sinners. He came down and lived like, put on flesh, became a man, and dwelt among us. And so he was willing to identify with us. And he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now I'd like you to turn to your Bibles to Numbers 23. This is the story about Balak asking Balaam to curse. Balak asking Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And so then, verse 41 in chapter 22, it says, and so the next day Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. And now we're going to go down to verse 7. And then Balaam took up this oracle and said, Balak the king of Moab has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come and curse Jacob for me, and come and denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom God has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not heed to speak that what God has put in my mouth? So they decided to go to another place to curse Balak. Balak thought maybe he could curse God in another spot. And so we'll go to verse 18. And then he took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, and listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And there's more there, but I'm going to go to 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go, as at other times, to use sorcery, but seek to use sorcery. But he set his face toward the wilderness, and Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon them. And then he took up this oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are wide open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with his eyes wide, with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be like many be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. And it goes on, verse 9, he who bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who will rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. And Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, then in verse 12, Balaam said to Balak, did I not tell you that I could only tell what God told him to speak? So I had to think here about these people, and I had to look in the concordance about how many times that the children of Israel were, and not only the children of Israel, but us, the Zion, the children of, we are also the children of Israel in the New Testament. I had to see how many times that God blessed his people and how he was so protective of them and how highly he spoke of his people. And in the concordance, it just, there's so many references. You wouldn't believe how many references that refer to my people here. They're especially there. We can read some of these. But one of the first ones I found was in Exodus 6, verse 7. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you from under the burdens of Egypt. And you hear in God's voice so much pride and so much joy and so much excitement and eagerness, can't you hear what he's saying? And it says in Malachi, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. And then maybe I should read that. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Okay, then in 2 Corinthians 6, it says that I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And then in Isaiah, the Lord who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. And then the cross and how he identified with us on the cross, and how easy it is for us to hide who we are, how often we try to avoid. I had to think about that. He's talking in hush, proud ways about his people, what he's going to do, and all the wonderful things he's going to do. And his people show their love and their adoration by obedience, by wearing, and by living, and by surrendering daily to the counsels of his loving will. Some people, some Christians wear their crown in pride and in glory, but some wear their crown in shame and maybe in shame. But I just want to encourage you to wear your crown with pride. I don't mean in a prideful sense, but not in shame. Oh God, please be our God. I want to be your son and or daughter and proud of you, and I want to own you. Then I wanted to read a verse in Jeremiah. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And then in Timothy it talks about a workman not to be ashamed, that we don't have to be ashamed. And Christ says, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall I be ashamed when the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father. So let's return the pride and the ownership that the Lord shows in us. Let's return that pride and ownership to him. Okay, that's all I have. Maybe we should bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and pray that you would be with our service this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for your loving kindness and your mercies to us. Help us, Lord, to honor you in our lips and our life. I pray, go with us now. In the name of Jesus, amen.